Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Avalanche analyst Scott Masters, longtime NHL coach, scout, front office, is in Hawaii right now.
Aloha.
He is joining us from Hawaii, where it just turned 3 a.m. So, Scott, I got to ask, is your day just beginning or your night just ending?
Well, what's your guess? You guys know me all so well. If I might just coming in to the, from the night, or am I just getting my day going?
I don't know. You sound
I'm
like a
go
guy
day,
been...
I'm thinking day going.
No, like, I think night ending.
I we'll do both. I took a little nap, woke up. Now I'm going to go back to bed. But it's nice to sit in this house, dark house, in my whitey tidies, open up a beer, and talk hockey with you guys.
There you go. Popping a beer at 3 a.m. to talk some pucks. All right. So you got to watch the Avs play at, what it would have been like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon out there.
Yep, happy hour.
Hey, you know what gut punch hockey losses look and feel like, was this one last night for the Avs? Can you recover from this?
Yeah, I think they can recover for sure because they're such a good team, talented team, and so much skill and effort, but our effort is maybe the question mark lately, but they, It hurt for sure, especially the timing of the loss, meaning game five is such a huge, huge game as far as a 7-game series and coming on the home ice for the Avalanche. That loss hurts. And so they're going to have to recover and obviously win on the one on the road and come back home and win another.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. We were talking and I was mentioning to Mike, you know, game two, obviously, you know, the Avs won, but they got out skated by, Vegas and last night they won in their home or in you know Ball Arena, but the Avs pretty much dominated that game start to finish, except for you know a 3-minute period in the third, 3-minute run in the third period. I guess my question to you though is, I have not seen the Avs actually play well in Vegas in the two games they played there. Can they go there and win, or what's it going to take to go into Vegas and actually come away with a win?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think there's what Mike said too. There's each team has kind of stolen a game here in the series, game two and game five, vice versa. And usually in the series, you know, someone may steal one or two, but at the end, I think the better team wins the series. For the Avs to go in there, it's again for me, if McKinnon gets shut down, well, he has to be, his line has to be better than their top line. It's just plain and simple. And then the rest of the guys has to pick it up. And it's the depth for me really what loses the games for the Avalanche. They could have, as well as they played last night, they should have scored a few more. They should have put it 3-0, maybe 4-0. Then Vegas doesn't have a chance to come back. And it, for me, their lineup is really, really hard for them to score those goals. And that's what I think they're going to have to get from another Saad goal, another goal from Donskoy, you know, and someone else chip in there too for them to win game six.
There was a call for Jared Bednar to do something, adjustments, make some changes. He certainly did that. The additions of Alex Newhook and Logan O'Connor into the lineup, mixing up his top lines. How did you feel about the changes that Bednar made and attempted to make?
Yeah, I took a look at it a little bit. It's so hard to take away from your strengths, right? If you put what, you know, the top line was fantastic, has been one of the top lines the last 2 years with Landeskog on the top line. So putting him on the second line is where I have an issue with because of the support. So Landeskog now goes with JT Compher and Niskushin. JT Compher and Niskushin are not playmakers. So then you're relying on Landeskog. He's usually the good drive net, tip, rebounds, goals on the top line. Well, on this one, he doesn't get much help. Then you look at this third line of O'Connor, Yost, and Barkovsky. Like, that's – Barkovsky hasn't done anything in the playoffs. That's another deadline for me. Yost is not – when he came into the league, he was an offensive guy. Really, he's turned into more of a defensive guy. He's played fantastic. It's just a combination of – there's not a lot of scoring in those bottom three lines at these combinations. And I, the prime example is, okay, Compher has a chance to score in overtime. Doesn't do it. He's just not a finisher like that. He's a skater. He's a, you know, guy in the PK. He's a third or fourth line guy. He's not going to score. And then also Nikushkin goes down in the corner. This is what he usually does. Takes his big body, skates wide, goes in the corner, curls, puck to the point, block shot, goal the other way. So these little small things add up, and that's what changed the momentum of the game last night, and they end up losing in the end.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we always talk about, when you do make a mistake, a couple turnovers lead to two straight goals, you have to have your goalie stand on his head and make a save. Do you look at that with Grubby and say, hey, man, at least one of those goals you've got to stop? I mean, where were you on the two goals he gave up and then, of course, the overtime goal?
Yeah, you would like, obviously, any goal that goes in is what I say, a very bad save, right? It's just, you got to do your job. And so, you can't, over the series, and I don't think going back to last night's game, you say Grubauer was the cause, right? Maybe he stops one and it's, you know, keeps the game tied in overtime, but overall, he's been one of the best players in the series. So it's hard for me to nitpick at him for last night's game or the game before. He's been fantastic. Fleury was fantastic last night. Fleury was a big aspect of how they won. So yeah, you like to maybe Kim get one of those or two of those back, but hey, that's not their issue right now.
Scott, mahalo, aloha,
yes.
And good evening. Or good morning.
Yeah, all those two.
All of them.
I'm headed back today. So,
well, we welcome you back. Thank you so much. And hopefully, the Avs find a way to get this back to a game seven. Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Scott Masters, our Avalanche analyst, longtime hockey advisor, working with the Panthers, Blues, Avs, Canadiens, DU. So he joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at ScottMasters55. Join us live from Hawaii, where it is 3:08, and he was saying, you got to appreciate that, sitting there in his tidy whiteys, drinking a beer, talking to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like you every Friday morning on the road during the NFL season, broadcasting from some hotel.
Well, normally.
Minus the tidy whiteys.
Yeah, I'm just in a towel normally. So, I'm not going tidy whitey on you.
taking the shirt off.
The look that Mark just flashed me, like,
yeah,
come hither.
I need dark underpants.
Your world frightens and confuses me.
That's disgusting. Okay, coming up next, Nikola Jokic is the NBA MVP. Does this cement his legacy as the greatest nugget of them all? And where does he rank among all the other Denver MVPs? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So we're running a promo of all the MVPs that have graced our town. We've been really lucky when you think about it. Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Larry Walker, John Elway,
mm-hmm.
Terrell Davis,
yes.
And now Nikola Jokic. But do you give, I guess you got to give, there's the MVP list, and then there's maybe the absolute top cream of the crop is that Joe Sakic and Terrell Davis both won their MVPs in the process of winning championships.
Yeah, I think that goes to the head of the class, right? I mean, MVP is great.
Right.
MVP and lead your team to a world championship,
mm-hmm.
That's better.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I would say so. Peyton Manning, he did his, of course, in 2013.
Right.
They went to the Super Bowl, but lost.
I wonder, Mike.
Elway lugging teams that had no business going to Super Bowls.
He won MVP in 87.
Like,
you know, it'd be interesting because Joe Sackett won in, what, 2001 when they won the Cup?
Mm-hmm.
But did he carry a team for a period? Because remember in 98 when TD won the MVP of the league, John missed, I mean, John I think missed four starts, but he missed the majority of six games.
Correct.
With Bobby Brister playing. So, like, does that catapult TD over Joe Sackett? Did they miss that?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Was Forsberg out? Did they have
TD the greatest? Did TD have the greatest MVP season?
I mean, now we're splitting hairs. I get it. But,
boy, 2,000 yards rushing.
Right. One of only a half a, you know, only one of six or seven guys, maybe eight guys now to do it.
Was he the MVP of that Super Bowl, or was it? No.
John was the MVP of that Super Bowl the year before TD was the MVP
right.
of Super Bowl 32.
Right, okay, right. So he won the, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Did not, so what we're saying is he did not win the MVP and the Super Bowl MVP the same year. Yeah, that's, boy, if you're talking about putting it all together, yeah, TD, that year for TD.
What is, when you win?
Only made possible by the blocking of Mark Schlereth up front, of course.
Good point. What's the equivalent of Super Bowl MVP when you win the Stanley Cup? What is the most outstanding player?
Conn Smythe Award winner.
Conn Smythe Award winner. Who won the Conn Smythe the year that he won the MVP? Did he win the Conn Smythe?
That 2001 year, was that Joe or was that
Wah?
Patrick.
Oh, now those chubby fingers. Efforting music, Benny.
Somebody, we were talking about dreams earlier.
Yeah. Anybody analyze my dream?
Mike's recurring nightmare is Jimmy Dean chasing after his fingers.
Oh. I want that sausage, you son of a... Right? They're my fingers. Jimmy Dean. He's just a villain. Trying to tin snip off your sausage fingers. Who won the Conn Smythe?
Conn Smythe in 2001 was Patrick Waugh.
Patrick Waugh.
So. Does this, though, I mean, we can debate and quibble and all that kind of stuff, but there's no doubt in my mind. In your mind, is Nikola Jokic not only the first Nuggets NBA MVP award winner, but does this cement him as the greatest Nugget ever?
No, not the greatest Nugget ever.
Oh, really? Oh, you're very emphatic about that right off the bat.
Well, how is he the greatest Nugget ever?
So because he's done something that no other Nugget has done? Let's start there.
Okay, well, is TD the greatest Bronco ever? Because he did something that nobody else has done. He's won the MVP on the year that he won the Super Bowl. So he's better than Elway? He's okay. More important than Elway?
Okay, all right. Okay.
He's had the greatest Nugget season. Because he's the only one that's ever won an MVP.
Right.
But that doesn't qualify him as the greatest Nugget.
Who's the greatest Nugget then, in your opinion?
Oh, my. Well.
I have a feeling now that you've bit off more than you can chew, my friend.
No.
When left with the other options, you're going to be like,
No. Alex English.
Okay.
Alex English. Melo had a better career so far.
What? No.
Okay, well,
I'll listen to Alex English. I'm not going to listen to Melo. No.
Okay, well, I mean, you just don't like Melo.
Well, let's start with the fact that one of the great Nikola Jokic is the MVP is because he makes everybody around him better. It's just the way he plays the game.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony was a self-absorbed ball hog. A gunner. Who didn't make people better? He didn't make people better.
Yeah, well, I mean.
So, let's start right there.
All right. Which is fine.
Look, is Melo one of the top five Nuggets of all time? Yes.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Where would you put
Mutombo? Oh.
The finger
not
wag.
Not in my house. Let's see, if I ranked my top five Nuggets, I would probably go Jokic, English, David Thompson, Fat Lever, Melo. And probably Matumbo.
You go young, Jokic won.
Yes. Yes.
How long has he been here?
What's it, 6 years? 6 years now? Is it six?
I mean, I just, again, I think.
Don't start throwing longevity at me. Terrell Davis got in the Hall of Fame based on three years.
I understand that. I'm just saying, when you're talking about the greatest, when you're talking about the greatest nugget of all time, you've got to throw some longevity in that nugget's career. Don't you?
Which is why I give a serious nod to Alex English.
Right. All right.
Who would you go with?
I told you, Alex English.
You go with English.
Just the longevity of the whole situation. But I understand the greatness of the Jokic season. It's been incredible. Done something that nobody else has done. I love the story. I love the fact that he was, what, the 41st pick or something? Second round? I mean, I love all that stuff is tremendous, because I think when you get a guy that overcomes a bunch of stuff like that, he becomes somebody who you can connect with as a fan. Like, hey, even though I may not be whatever, I can still have great success. And I think it's one of the reasons that Steph Curry is so popular, right? Because you could see yourself, man, if I could shoot, like,
right.
You could see, like, he looks on an NBA court. Now, he's not. If you met him in person, he's probably 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, 6'2", 6'3", yeah.
So, I mean,
not
he's
6'4".
6'3", oh, but not 6'4". I mean, what the hell's the difference? Inch.
Well, it's like you could be 6'4", 6'5", but only the few, like Paxton Lynch, are 6'7".
Right.
And we know what difference that makes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you talk to NFL scouts, you'd be a 6'5 quarterback and be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You get to 6'6", 6'7", you can't play.
It's true. Right?
Until somebody proves otherwise.
Until proven otherwise, 6'7 is too tall.
It's too tall.
Right? Dan McGuire?
Dan McGuire.
Right? Wasn't he 6'7"? How'd we get off on this? What are we talking about?
Top of the house.
Yeah. It is crazy that the 6'6", 6'7" guys can't play. But the 6'5 guys are great. Peyton Manning, 6'5". Tom Brady, 6'5".
Someone has a problem with me putting Fat Lever in there. Boy, talk about another guy that just made people better.
Fat?
He's fat.
What about the Iron Horse?
Dan Issel. Love Dan.
Mm-hmm. In top 10.
Ooh. Hey, by the way, before you go after my Fat Lever, there was a stretch of 3 years here with the Nuggets where he averaged 4 year stretch where he averaged between 18 and 20 points, 8 assists per game, 3 steals per game, 6 rebounds per game. Hey, he was a really good player.
Uh-huh.
Fat Lever was a really good player. I don't have any problem putting him in my top 5. All right, 4 down territory coming up next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is 4 down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Just based on how I played last year. I didn't really think much of it. I mean, competition is good for everyone. You know, we're going to push each other. We're pushing each other already in OTAs. And he's a great guy off the field. And he's a great player. So we're going to make each other better. You know, whoever steps up, that's going to get the job.
Lloyd Cushenberry acknowledging he's battling for a job. Quinn Miners, who was drafted, the belly, chance to get a chance to start at center. Give you credit, Mark. You were, when everybody was saying, hey, Cush, third round pick, step right in as a starter, bright future, you were like, I'm not really seeing it. Apparently George Payton feeling the same way.
Yeah, well, it's not as easy as it, everybody likes to make it sound, but Yeah, I mean, Kush was overwhelmed a bunch last year. Wasn't just flat out wasn't physical enough. And you know, I mean, that the part of that is technique, part of that is growth, maturity, all those kind of things. But you know, he just wasn't. He didn't play with enough leverage. He didn't play with enough strength, and that was an issue last year. And so, you know, they brought in competition. That's great. I mean, what our man Macho Man used to say, the cream rises to the top, right?
Still rooting for Kush.
You like
what
it.
You do have is my word, mm-hmm. And it's stronger than oak.
Yeah, that's you and everybody else.
Rise to the top.
You and everybody. Well, we got better there. We got rid of one guy and got better and moving on.
All right. Nobody likes know-it-all Mark.
I
told you so, Mark, on his island.
That's right. I live on the island.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
So I've gained a couple pounds. I think last year I was maybe 233. I've been up to 236, 237, and stuff like that. And we'll just see how I feel during these rest of these OTAs and Mandatory Mini Camp, and then see how I feel during camp, just see if I need to shed a few pounds or stay up there, just depending on what my job's going to be this year.
Yeah. 3 pounds. That's
Wow. Josie Jewell let himself go.
Yeah. I gained 8 pounds at practice one day. Just seeing how much water I could drink. Come on. 3 pounds. That just irritates me.
Yeah, that's kind of irritating right there.
I lose 3 pounds after a night of eating Mexican food with my daughters.
You know. Cut like a Greek god, and he's like, well, you know, I got a little heavy. Put on 3 pounds.
I decided to throw on some muscle weight. I went from 33 to 36.
Back to the football part of it.
Yeah.
Here we are again, another year where we're looking at until Browning shows that he can be a plug-and-play guy. We're still looking at Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell. Yeah. How would you? Those two together are what? Fill in the blank.
Thumpers,
okay. Solid.
There's nothing wrong with either of those guys. They're both good players.
But for those of us who watch Tampa in the Super Bowl, I'm like, oh.
They're not difference makers.
Man, I want a Levante David.
Right.
Devin White type.
They're good, solid players. I just think the way the league is constructed today, especially with you know, trying to take advantage of all the underneath kind of coverage aspects, those dudes who can run, who wipe out, you know, it's the difference between a swing pass that goes for 8 yards and makes it second and two and a swing pass that goes for 2 yards and makes it second and eight. Did I do the math correctly there? I think I did. You know what I'm saying? That speed is the difference. And that's what you don't truly have here in Denver, in my opinion.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Jim was a guy that, had a lot of responsibility for the success I had in this league, and as a football coach, and also as a friend, and as a guy. He was a tremendous guy and tremendous football coach, and I wouldn't have got where I got without Jim Fossil.
Yeah, Jim Fossil, everybody agrees, just a super guy, passing away way too early at the age of 71 over the weekend, and yeah, it came through here as an offensive coordinator, work with John Elway, and you can hear the admiration that John has had for Jim Fossil. In fact, there was a time there when the Broncos were going through their coaching carousel where, you know, Fossil's name was mentioned prominently as somebody that, hey, that might make sense to bring him back here.
Yeah, he has one of the classic, when he was the head coach for the Giants, one of the classic kind of press conferences, right, where he's pushing his chips to the, you can either get in or get out. I don't care, but I'm pushing my chips to the middle. Was awesome.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Jeez, Benny. Well. So, John Harbaugh, boy, talk about doubling down. Not only do the Ravens surprise a lot of people by signing Juwan James, John Harbaugh says that he believes that Juwan James could be ready to play later on this season. Yes, as one of my friends texted me, John Harbaugh said they won't rule out Juwan James for late next season. LOL, who wants to tell him?
Yeah, he's really chomping at the bit to play.
Man, this guy will bust his hump to get back. Nobody works harder than Juwan James.
Yes, yes.
Okay. If Tim Tebow was an offensive lineman, he'd be Juwan James.
I mean, he's trying. He's only been able to play 63 plays. Some of it is just emotional, but according to his coach, listen. You know, the one thing about talent, the one thing about having talent is everybody thinks they can take talent and go, you know, under my expert tutelage, I'll make this guy, you know, I'll make him tough or I'll make, talent gets you opportunities, man. He's going to get opportunities because he's a talented player.
But it does say something. It says something for me, the respect I have for John Harbaugh, that when I saw it was the Ravens, I went, oh, well, maybe it could work there. You know, maybe Harbaugh will get the most out of him. Because if he got just about anywhere else, I'd be like, but you know, when it was Baltimore, I went, Baltimore. Well, maybe John Harbaugh knows something we don't know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes when you put a guy around enough tough guys, right? Enough tough play, you got to play up to that.
Right.
You got to play up to that standard, even if that's not your natural makeup, so to speak. The Ravens, I will say this about the Ravens. Put on their film. They're hard. They're a hard-nosed football team. They'll win the toughness battle most of the time. They're going to win a lot of football games just because they're going to out-tough you.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Speaking of hard-nosed, nobody more hard-nosed when it comes to covering the Denver sports scene than Troy Rank. Will get his thoughts on the Avs, Nikola Jokic, the ongoing Broncos OTA, all that next. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 insider, and he, of course, is brought to us by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing great, Troy. I mean, it's a pretty decent morning, all things considered, with that Avs loss. I mean, where are you with the Avs? Everybody's got a chance, but where are you optimism-wise with the Avs coming back and winning Game 6 and Game 7 to win this thing in 7?
Yeah, I mean, my optimism's not high. I mean, that was a heart and a blunder loss to lose at home where they hadn't lost since March 8th. They actually outplayed them probably, 52 of 61 minutes. And it's reminded me of the game they kind of stole from the Knights earlier in the series when they won on the power play in overtime after getting outplayed the last part of that game. But to lose at home and now have to go to Vegas, if they were going probably anywhere in hockey right now other than maybe Vegas or Tampa, I'd say – I think they can win on the road. It's just Vegas is just such a hotbed in so many ways. They're playing great, and their fans are just electric. But it doesn't mean they can't. It's almost like you have to have Grubby just steal a game, and you win 2-1, and he just plays out of his mind. They did some good things, but it's just so demoralizing to lose at home in a game you felt like they had dominated for a large chunk but couldn't finish. Couldn't get across the finish line.
And does that level of being demoralized, is it added to because the guys that you count on, the guys that we look at as being, you know, the next great Stanley Cup champion Avalanche, the McKinnons, the Landeskogs, the McCars, the Grubauers, the Rantanens, that they just haven't delivered?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're healthy. They're at home. I mean, this isn't the ideal matchup. You would have liked it in the next round, but that's, you know, COVID-19 part of the issue this year in hockey. We're going to get some weird matchups earlier in the playoffs. But, yeah, it reminds me in some ways of the Broncos team that lost to the Jaguars at home, and then they ended up winning 2 Super Bowls. But, I mean, when you look at that team or the Peyton Manning team that lost to the Ravens, it was like everything set up for them to get to the finals. And they have a hiccup, and maybe that will be the case for this team, and they're not done yet, but it's just to be at home, to control their fate, to have everyone healthy, the crowd's going nuts, it's right there in front of them, and they couldn't finish. And Fleury plays like a Hall of Famer. I guess he is a Hall of Famer, but he certainly plays like one against the Avs. And they just had a couple of shots early in that game that would have changed. They just needed a little separation, and when they let them hang around, you just felt like, man, if this comes down to one shot, Vegas right now is really hot. But just the idea of the Avs losing 4 straight is hard to comprehend for those of us who watch this team all year. You just can't imagine they would lose 4 straight games at any point.
Yeah, the Joker, switching topics, the Joker wins the MVP. Mike and I were having this conversation. Is he the greatest Nugget of all time, or is this the greatest Nugget season of all time?
Well, I mean, you can argue he's the greatest Nugget. I mean, I would like to see him do it a few more years. This is his sixth season. Certainly the greatest season. That's not even a question. With all due respect to Alex English, I mean, Carmelo had some years in there. He had David Thompson. It's easily the greatest season because he is such a unicorn in the way he plays the position as a big man. Nobody's ever passed like this as a big man in the league. So it's not just like a guy who had a great season. It's a guy who's doing things nobody's ever seen before. It reminded me of Larry Walker's 97 season where it just was so good. You could not ignore it. You wanted to. You kept thinking, oh, there's no way they're going to vote for a guy in Denver. There's no way they're going to vote for this team. They're not a championship contender. They don't get seen nationally enough. Hell, they don't get seen locally enough. But you just couldn't ignore it. That's how good he was, and well deserved. Greatest Nugget ever. I mean, I don't like that have that conversation until a guy has 10 years in his career. But he's certainly right there. I'm not going to go crazy arguing against that fact.
Do you like the Nuggets' chances of bouncing back tonight?
I like the chance of them playing well. I don't know that they can win in Phoenix right now. It's almost like again, Avs winning in Vegas. They match up better against the Suns than the, even without Murray, than the Avs have matched up against the Knights at times. I don't like them winning on the road, but it's not a series until you lose at home. They go down 2-0. They're not done. It just means you have to hold serve at home and at some point steal one on the road. But I don't know that they can win at Phoenix right now on the road with the Chris Paul I saw the other night. That Chris Paul is going to be able to lead the Suns possibly to the finals. Paul's never played that well. Even the year they lost to the Warriors when he was with the Rockets, I don't know that Paul's playing as well as he is now. If he's healthy and making shots, especially from three, I don't think you can beat the Suns in this series. But it's not over. It's not over yet.
You've been at all the Broncos practices, all the OTAs, and the things that they're doing right now in Phase 3. Just your general assessment of kind of where they are, you know, how they've moved from where they were last year at the end of the year to where they are right now.
Well, they're better defensively, and that's not just on paper. You look at the versatility in the secondary with Barbie, with Fuller, with Sertan, with Callahan, with Simmons and Jackson. You're like, okay, they can do some things. Vic Fangio has a chance to be really creative with this defense because of the personnel. And if you have a healthy Chubb and a healthy Miller, I mean, you look across the field at 7-8 positions, you like where they're at defensively. That is showing up already. The defense is way ahead of the offense. Offensively, you can see the advantage of being in OTAs that they miss, especially for some young guys. But just, again, we talk about it. Until we figure out what's going on at quarterback, some of this becomes mute. But one of the stats I dug up yesterday, guys, is they are 1-15 the last 2 years when trailing after two quarters. I mean, they have no chance in games unless they start fast and start better. And that will allow their defense to be great because you can get takeaways if you're even or leading. But if you look at their numbers the last 2 years, they're basically done when trailing after the first or second quarter. So one thing to me, that the emphasis has to be on the urgency to score early and give your defense a chance to get takeaways and make plays.
Troy, always appreciate it. Thank you for the insight.
You got it, guys. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. We got question mark coming up here in a couple of minutes. We've been having some fun. So when Nikola Jokic was picked by the Nuggets, it was during a commercial of the NBA draft. They had gone to commercial, and all they were doing was writing a crawl on the bottom of the screen as picks came in. And as it flashed that the Nuggets had selected Nikola Jokic, it was a Taco Bell ad running for a, what do you call it again? Quesarito. So we're deciding what would go into a Taco Bell Nikola Jokic inspired burrito,
right,
or whatever. What would be the ingredients?
Well, I'm just assuming that Serbia smells like cabbage. That just is an assumption that I make.
It's a strong assumption.
Right. It could be wrong, could be right.
Cabbage.
It just feels like a cabbage, like the cabbage capital of the world.
Right,
Serbia.
Right. Okay,
like, cabbage. I grew up in Alaska, so I know, like, in those colder climates that get a lot of sunshine during the summer, like, cabbage, like, stuff like that grows really well.
Mm-hmm.
Rhubarb.
Oh, rhubarb, yes.
So that would be the dessert portion of the...
Root vegetables.
Root vegetables grow well in that environment.
Potatoes.
Right.
Turnips.
Exactly.
This is starting to taste like a tasty burrito.
Yes, so I would assume that burrito is going to be full...
Of cabbage?
Cabbage.
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Turnips.
I'm thinking boars. I think they got to be wild boars in Serbia.
Absolutely.
Right.
That they wrestle with their bare hands.
I think that, like, when Nicola was young, like, part of the, like, you know, there's traditions when you grow into manhood, and part of it is, like, you do a Rambo thing. You know when Rambo was hiding in the tree and he jumped down on the boar and stabbed it in the head, and then he ate boar meat? Like, you got to do that. That's like your sojourn into manhood.
Right. Right.
It's like what Ben did.
Like a rite of passage type
thing. Right. It's like what Ben did with his dad on the camping trip when his dad just left to go into town, stay at a hotel, and left Ben there with a Swiss Army knife in his underpants. Said, "You got to survive the night, son." Ben, you know, found himself a possum. Right?
Let's see.
Stabbed a possum.
Serbian deer sausage.
Ooh.
The borscht burrito.
The borscht burrito.
Coming to Taco Bell. Named after the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, having a little fun with that. I've got question mark coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Here is a advanced question. It's a good one from Ryan in Missouri. Why the heck aren't the Avalanche playing better? And don't give me that BS answer because the Knights are playing great. Bleep that. Where the bleep are the Avs?
Yeah.
It's a good question. We'll forward all your suggestions over to Jared Bednar.
If you had to
bottle it up into a nice tidy answer, what would it be? Why have they lost three in a row?
I just don't think that they match up depth wise, and I don't think they match up. They haven't matched up consistently grit-wise.
Okay.
And yeah, that's the issue. You know, bottom line is there is something to playoff hockey when you're a quote-unquote finesse team. And I thought they out-hustled. But if you're going to beat that team, if you're going to beat the Knights, you can't do it for two periods. You can't do it for two and a quarter period. You got to do it. Like, that's got to be your commitment. And I understand how difficult it is to play that way. Like, I understand, like, the amount of effort it takes and the amount of focus it takes. And the problem being, the other problem for me is when you have that mental lapse, the Knights have been able to capitalize.
That's what jumps out at me.
Right.
The opportunistic nature of these two teams, the difference between those two teams.
Right.
Vegas is very opportunistic. They finish much better with their opportunities than the Avs do. Boy, the Avs have had so many opportunities.
Right.
Just finish. Mm-hmm. Find a way to finish. Give me some goal scorers' goals when given that opportunity. But yeah, if you're looking at some of those differences, yeah. And here's the thing that's going to really stink. You're an Avalanche fan, and you're Joe Sakic, and you're the Avs. If you don't win this series, if you do not come back and win this series, you are going to be dogged and reminded and haunted of the same tag that you've had for years now. There go the Avalanche. Nice, pretty, finesse, fun team during the regular season, but when things get hard during the playoffs, lean on them a little, put a little pressure on them, they wilt. Same old Avs.
Ah.
You don't want to carry that. You don't want to carry those kind of labels around.
No,
but that's what's going to be said if they don't find a way to rally.
But that's what is said. I mean, and I think the thing you have to understand is what wins in the playoffs. Like, what wins, just what wins in sports in general? Like, if we're just, like, playoff hockey, playoff football, playoff basketball, whatever. I always am drawn back to, in football, for instance, when the line of scrimmage on both sides win the game. How did the Giants beat the New England Patriots in two Super Bowls?
How'd the Broncos win their last Super Bowl?
You win the line of scrimmage, you're going to win a lot. You win the grit factor. You win the toughness factor. You take away the skill and precision and the speed. Now, I'm not saying that Vegas doesn't have great speed, because they do.
They do too, yep.
But there's just something, like Scott Masters said to us, about the depth of all their lines versus the depth of our lines.
And that's what makes what happened last night. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.